All right, guys, welcome to our Let's Talk About Poop podcast, where every week I do a deep dive on a question that patients have asked me during the week. If you're new to this podcast, every Monday we go live on my social media streams and we repost this on Spotify, on iTunes, on my podcast, and we answer any questions you guys may have. If you want to have a question that's asked on the show, send me a message, subscribe, send me a DM so we can answer your questions as well. So let me tell you the format. In the initial beginning part, we do a deep dive into a particular topic, and then towards the very end, I'll answer any questions that my audience members have discussed or reviewed and also want me to answer as well on the live stream as well. So if you want your questions live answered, join me every 7:30 p.m. roughly Central Standard Time on my social media streams where we can answer your questions live as well. So we have a great show today. Today we're going to talk about dysphagia, which is a very common symptom I see for a lot of my patients. So let's talk about exactly what this is and we'll answer your questions live. So let's do a deep dive. Dysphagia, trouble swallowing. You'd be surprised how many patients come to see me that think that trouble swallowing is normal. Let me tell you, straight up, it is not normal. If food or water gets stuck in your esophagus, that is not a normal thing to have. And I really don't want you to worry about that. So the medical term for this is called dysphagia, or trouble swallowing. This is when food or water gets stuck in the upper part of the esophagus. Now, there are a lot of different reasons why things get stuck. And one of the more common reasons is a narrowing in that esophagus. And there are a lot of reasons why you can have a narrowing. That's actually called a stricture. The most common reason for a stricture is acid reflux. So even if you have acid reflux and you don't feel it, you may have silent reflux. And over time, that damage can cause a narrowing to occur as well. But another common reason you can have is a problem with the contraction of the esophagus. So for some individuals, the muscles of the esophagus are not working appropriately, meaning that you can do everything right in terms of moving food from your mouth into your esophagus, but it just doesn't want to work. The muscles are just not working, or they're spasming, they're working too good, or they're not working at all. And this is another reason why you can have trouble swallowing. A third reason is a condition called eosinophilic esophagitis, or EOE. This is a very common condition that we see, especially in young Caucasian men who also have asthma, ATP, or dry skin, and also trouble swallowing as well. This is kind of the common triad that we see now in individuals who have trouble swallowing. So when I see a young individual coming to see me who has trouble swallowing, and I see they also have asthma or dry skin, the first thoughts in my mind is, do you have this condition called eosinophilic esophagitis? So what this is an allergic condition in which you have algae cells actually going into the esophagus to cause narrowings and stricturing to occur. And the only way to diagnose this is actually see what's going on with an arthroscope. Take biopsies, see if you have a predominance of algae cells that are there, and then we can give you treatment on that, whether it's changing your diet, avoiding the trigger foods, maybe having you be on a medication to reduce the allergic response, maybe an acid medication as well. Now, another common reason why people can have trouble swallowing is probably the most scary reason that I worry about, which is esophageal cancer. Esophageal cancer, unfortunately, is becoming a rising cancer that we're seeing all across the world, especially in the United States. We know it's multifactorial. Alcohol, smoking, reflux, these are the most common reasons, but by far reflux is the most common reason. And one of the most common presenting symptoms of cancer of the esophagus is trouble swallowing or dysphagia. And that's exactly what we kind of worry about. And you'd be surprised, unfortunately, the wide spectrum of individuals that I see that come in for dysphagia or trouble swallowing that actually have a cancer. So I'll tell you a story. I had a young patient of mine in their 30s who had chronic acid reflux for a long time, off and on, comes and goes, wasn't a big deal to him, but all of a sudden he started having trouble swallowing. And this trouble swallowing became rapid onset over the next couple of weeks to the point where nothing was going through. Now, the first thing in my mind was, okay, it's probably either a stricture or narrowing, or it may have this allergic condition called eosinophilic esophagitis. So we did what we normally do in terms of the work. We took a look, and lo and behold, unfortunately, we actually ended up finding esophageal cancer. In a 30-year-old, it blew my mind away. It scared me, and this prompted me to want to talk about this particular topic today. Now, There are other symptoms that can occur with dysphagia. So you can also have reflux. Like I said before, reflux is the most common reason why you can have trouble swallowing. And so if you have acid reflux on top of that, that kind of gives us a clue. Atopy, dry skin, asthma, chronic throat clearing, heartburn. You can also have chest pain that's non-cardiac in nature. Sometimes you can also have regurgitation as well. These are other associated symptoms that come with trouble swallowing. So if I have somebody come to see me and they're having trouble swallowing, what do we do? What is the workup? Well, the first thing we want to do is find out why. What is going on? Like, why are you having trouble swallowing? Is it a narrowing problem? Is it a stricture? Is it a muscle problem? Is there something worrisome going on? And the best way for us to answer the question why is to do what's called an upper endoscopy or an EGD. This is a procedure. It takes about 15, 20 minutes while you're asleep. And I use a small camera and we use this procedure to answer a lot of questions. Number one, why are you having trouble swallowing? I can physically take a look and see what's going on. And I can see, is there a narrowing that's there? Is there a stricture? Do you have some sort of lesion going on there? I can physically see. But while I'm down there, I can also fix the problem. I can do what's called a dilation, where I stretch out the esophagus, get this fixed, and get this resolved. Because if I see a narrowing, my goal is to try and fix it at that time, get you feeling better, and resolve those issues. Now, what this tells me, it tells me if there is a mechanical problem of an obstruction, if there's an actual narrowing that I see. I can see a narrowing or stricture. I can see with the upper scope. But what it does not tell me, it does not tell me if there is a problem with the muscles of the esophagus, because there are a lot of conditions in which the muscles are not working appropriately. For example, scleroderma. Scleroderma is a very common autoimmune rheumatological condition which can affect the esophagus. And I can't see that with the upper scope. Or if there's a problem with the spasm, I cannot see that with an upper scope. So if I do an upper scope, I don't see a true cause for why things are getting stuck, or I do a stretching and it doesn't get you feeling better, the next step is for us to do what's called a manometry test. Now, I will tell you, and I tell my patients, this test is not fun. It's not. We put a probe down your nose for 20 minutes while you're awake and we have you swallow some water. It's like an energy tube. And what we want to do is we want to see how the muscles are working. Are they working appropriately? Are they spasming up to cause that chest pain or trouble swallowing? Or is nothing going through like in scleroderma, like a lead pipe? We can see if there's any subtle obstructions that are going on there as well. This is going to give me a comprehensive view for why you're having trouble swallowing, but also what can we do to get this taken care of for you. So let's say that we do realize you have trouble swallowing. How do we treat it? Well, we talk about a couple of different things that we do. So number one, if I can stretch out the esophagus at that time, I'll do that for you. I'll do what's called a dilation, where I open up the esophagus, literally like with the balloon, I open it up and try to get you immediate relief. Number two, if it's due to acid reflux, so I see acid damage or I see a stricture, I may do reflux changes, whether it's putting you on a medication, whether it's lifestyle changes, whether it's dietary modifications, this can help out. If it's due to what's called a spasm, sometimes a spasm can be treated with other medications to relax the esophagus, including nitroglycerin. Nitroglycerin that you use for your heart can also be used for your esophagus as well. Or we can use blood pressure medications to help relax the esophagus. In other individuals, we can actually inject Botox in the esophagus. You know that Botox is used for wrinkles and skin? It is also used for your esophagus to help relax the esophagus as well. And for some individuals, surgery may be an option that we may need to consider in those people who have trouble swallowing. Now that we've talked about kind of the whole workup for dysphagia or trouble swallowing, when do you need to worry about this? Well, let me tell you, these are my things that I need you to be aware of that if I hear, I'm like, oh my gosh, let's find out. Number one, any symptoms of trouble swallowing. That's it, 100%. If things are getting stuck, if pills are getting stuck, if water's getting stuck, let me stress, this is not normal. If it's one time, it's not normal. If it's more than one time, it definitely is not normal. So you're having this issue, come see us. We can find out what's going on. Number two, you'll also have associated weight loss as well, because that brings up a red flag that, oh my goodness, is there something bad going on in that esophagus? Number three, you have very rapid symptoms. So like in that scenario of that patient of mine that was young in their 30s, he had really rapid trouble swallowing. So if it occurs within a couple of weeks, that makes me worried as well. And then also if you have either associated anemia or black stools, This means there's a bleeding source going on. And what I worry about is that bleeding source in the esophagus that can make things worse as well? So key point, if you're having trouble swallowing, that's not normal. That needs to be investigated. Come see me. We can find out what's going on in Lubbock Gastro. So we can hopefully get a good plan, get this taken care of for you, and get you feeling better as well. All right, let's answer a couple of questions here and see what we can do. Linda, great question. I love this question. And thank you for watching as well. Linda asks, hey, Dr. Islam, why do I have the urgency to go to the bathroom as soon as I eat? It's a great question because it is, you'd be surprised how many patients see me in the office because of the urgency to go. Well, there are a couple of things I want to kind of clarify in terms of what we can do to hopefully elucidate these symptoms. So the first thing I would ask is, do you have your gallbladder? Is it gone? Has it been removed? Because if your gallbladder has been removed, one of the more common reasons for urgency is bile acid diarrhea. And this is when you remove your gallbladder, which is an organ to store bile. And so the bile just refluxes either up into your esophagus to cause heartburn or goes into your colon to cause diarrhea. And this is one of the more common causes of diarrhea is bile acid reflux. And if that's the case, we'll give you a bile acid binder to hold on to that bile so you're not having the urgency. Number two, are you actually taking medication for a different reason that causes diarrhea? A common one is the one blood pressure medications that end in Artan. So Olmesartan, Losartan, Irbesartan. These medications, which are very commonly used for blood pressure, also is a very common reason to have diarrhea. Number three, maybe it's a bacterial problem. You have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So maybe you're testing for that. And then lastly, is it really a GI problem or is it a problem with what you're eating? We know a lot of foods can trigger what's called the gastrocolic reflux, which is a reflux from the stomach into the small intestine to the colon to cause diarrhea to occur. So things like coffee, caffeine, dairy foods, or artificial sweeteners, these are known common triggers. So I want to try and piece together what is the cause. And in terms of the workup, we may do blood testing. We may check you for a condition called celiac disease. We may do breath testing and check for a condition called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And we actually may take a look with the scope. We may take do all this to see if we can get down to the root cause. Because my goal is to get down to the root cause for why you're having the issues and get you a treatment plan based on that and based on what your preferences are, whether it's lifestyle changes, dietary modifications, and or medical therapy as well. So these things will at least allow us to figure out what is going on. That's a great question. All right, next question. Hey, Dr. Islam, what are some reasons why I'm having some blood in the stool? That's a great question. Let's talk about it. So blood in the stool, I always have to stress, is never normal. And so if you're having blood in the stool even one time, don't ignore that. That's not normal. You should not be having blood. And so make sure you see a doctor to find out what's going on. So let's talk about the wide reasons why. So number one, hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are a very common reason why you can have blood in the stool. Hemorrhoids bleed and they can cause blood in the stool. Number two are fissures. Fissures are paper cuts in the rectum that hurt like heck. They feel like you're, you know, pooping out a pineapple. That's the analogy that everyone tells me. And that can also cause the blood in the stool. Number three, polyps. Polyps are precancerous growths that have the potential to go into cancer. And polyps can bleed. And having a polyp can also cause blood in the stool as well. Sometimes a condition called diverticulosis, which are outpouchings in the colon, can very commonly cause bleeding to occur as well. So we may need to do an investigation. And then lastly, but certainly not least, cancer. Colon cancer can present as any number of different symptoms, but a common symptom is rectal bleeding. So if you're having bleeding, here's my recommendation. Go see doctor number one. We may want to do a rectal exam so we can assess kind of what's going on down below. But most likely, we're going to recommend for us to take a look with a colonoscopy to see what's going on. And let me tell you, even if you're young and having bleeding, don't ignore this because I have diagnosed, unfortunately, plenty of younger individuals who had either precancerous polyps or cancer itself as the only presentation being one or two times of rectal bleeding. You don't want to be a statistic. And I want to make sure we can get you taken care of. So if you're having bleeding of any kind, make sure you come see me or someone like me to find out exactly what's going on. And so we can get down to the root cause to hopefully get you feeling better as well. Next question here. All right, Dr. Islam, I'm having mucus in the stool. What is going on? So great question. Why do you have mucus in the stool? So there are a lot of reasons why you can have mucus. One of the more common reasons is a condition called IBS or irritable bowel syndrome. IBS is a real disease. It's not in your head. You're not going crazy. I promise you. And we have a lot of patients who have IBS and we have a lot of videos on this. But IBS very commonly can cause mucus to occur in the stools. Another reason is a condition called ulcerative colitis. This is when your body actually attacks itself to cause inflammation to occur in the rectum, to cause the mucus to be sloughed off and cause mucus to be in the stool as well. Next, you could have a condition called small intestinal bacterial growth or SIBO. This is when you have an abnormal growth of bad bacteria inside the small intestine that can cause bloating, distension, vitamin deficiencies, but also can cause mucus to occur in the stool as well. So keep that in mind. And then lastly, very important, it could be normal. You'd be surprised how many individuals have mucus in their stool and it's a normal part of how their gut is. And that's okay. That's not a problem. So if you have mucus in the stool, get an investigation. Let's find out what's going on. Let's get down to the root cause so we can hopefully figure out what we can do to get you feeling better and get you taken care of as well. Linda asked a good question. Is a sigmoidoscopy as effective as a colonoscopy? It's a great question. Let's talk about the difference. So a sigmoidoscopy only goes into the very left part of the colon, whereas a full colonoscopy goes into the entire colon. And the main question is, why are you having the procedures? Because if you're doing a procedure to try and find a precancerous polyp, by far, we think that a colonoscopy is the best test because most aggressive cancers and aggressive polyps are on the right side of the colon. And a sigmoidoscopy will not allow us to see what is going on. The benefit of a sigmoidoscopy is that you don't have to take a full prep, just some enemas. And also number two, it's a lot shorter. It's only on the left side of the colon. So if you're having rectal issues or you're worried about something going on the left side, we can do a sigmoidoscopy. My preference is to elect to do a colonoscopy because it gives me more answers to what's going on. If you're going to be asleep, if you're going to take time off from work, if we're going to do an evaluation and see what's going on, I'd rather give you the best bang for your buck so we can truly give you all the information that you need. And if a colonoscopy is going to give me more information, I highly recommend it. In select individuals, we'll consider doing a sigmoidoscopy if there's something going on in the rectum I'm worried about or something else going on. I may want to consider that, but I would typically recommend doing a colonoscopy to get a fuller picture for what is going on. It's a great question. All right, guys. Well, these are great questions. Once again, I'm Dr. Islam. I do a podcast every Monday. We get released a couple of days later. Let's talk about poop. If you ever want to go on the live stream or ask a live question, join me around 7:30 p.m. on my social media channels where I can answer questions live. Or if you want to listen to the podcast, we'll have the podcast as well, which I know is a great way for people to get more information as well about what is going on. But I think we're getting towards the end of the time. So guys, I want to thank you for watching. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the live stream or a topic, send me a DM, send me a message. The best way to get in contact with us is to subscribe to my newsletter. And don't forget to come see us at Gastro for all your GI needs. Hope you guys have a happy and healthy day. Thanks, everyone.